Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
No moolah for managers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Looks like the top executives at General Motors are going to have to make do with just their salaries this year. The New York Times is reporting no cash bonuses for them for the second year in a row. The decision comes after the company lost more than $12 billion in 2006. Citigroup says it's going to double the number of offices it has in China. New regulations are allowing foreign banks to incorporate in China locally. Meanwhile, some American companies might be in hot water over there. Labor officials are investigating reports that McDonald's and KFC are paying less than minimum wage to their workers. Minimum wage in China is about $1 an hour. Preparing people for good jobs is part of the American Cell in India this week. Undersecretary for Public Diplomacy Karen Hughes is there with a delegation of university presidents. Miranda Kennedy has more from New Delhi.
More students from India attend American universities than from any other country, and the U.S. government wants to expand those numbers further because educating foreign students is big business. Today, Karen Hughes said the U.S. is simply playing to its strengths.
We believe we have the highest quality of educational experience available. We also know that India has a very young population. More than 50% of the population is under the age of 25, and so India has a growing demand.
During her visit, Hughes met India's prime minister to talk about another way to meet that demand, U.S. schools setting up satellite campuses in India. Right now, the law here prevents them from doing so, but India's legislature is expected to vote next month on a bill that would change that. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
If India is going to strengthen its education, that could mean worse news for the U.S. The World Economic Forum is saying we've lost our top position as a leading technology economy and dropped to 7. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The forum has ranked 122 countries according to things like government investment in technology, internet bandwidth capacity, and the regulatory environment in which high-tech businesses have to operate. The top country is Denmark, followed by Sweden, Singapore, Finland, and Switzerland. Having occupied the pinnacle in previous years, the US has now fallen humiliatingly into 7th place. The authors of the report say part of this is due to the low take-up of some key technologies in the States. On cell phone subscribers, for example, the US ranks 48th, and companies have not adopted technology as widely as expected. The report says the US has always done well spawning high-tech innovations, but the advances are not being adopted throughout American society as widely or as rapidly as in other countries. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Ben Bernanke's gloomy appearance on the Hill Wednesday caused the bears to come out on Wall Street. The Dow closed down 96 to 12,300. The Nasdaq closed down 20 to 2417. And the S&P closed down 11 to 1417.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
Time again for our ongoing series, Conversations from the Corner Office. This time we talk to the man in charge of the Mouse House. Bob Iger took over the Walt Disney Company in 2005 with a pledge to embrace the digital revolution. Marketplace's Kai Rizdahl visited Iger at Disney Studios in Burbank and talked to him about how he balances Disney's digital future with its storied history.
If you had to pick a part of this company that its reputation rests on, what would it be?
Oh, I'm not sure that there's really one, but I'd say the Disney brand is probably the most valuable, most important asset that we have.
Do you view yourself as a guardian of that brand? I mean, does that come with the keys to the executive suite?
Very much so. Very much so.
What don't you know right now about the entertainment industry in the next 10 to 15 years?
A lot.
Yeah, it's a tricky question.
Well, I'll tell you what I do know. What I do know is that there's probably nothing more valuable than quality. I also know that no matter how the world changes, people will still want to be entertained. And I'm smiling a bit because in 1955, Walt was asked to write some words to be put into a time capsule. And he was asked to, at that point, project what the world might look like 50 years from then. And in 2005, 50 years later, they were given to me. And he talked about this very point, and that is that no matter what the world looked like, no matter what was available to people, they still would want to be entertained, to essentially take them out of their daily frets. He used the word frets as a for instance. But I think that will be true 50 years from now, that no matter what the world looks like, people will have a daily grind and daily frets, and entertainment will remain a vital part of people's lives.
Do you have to run this company with an eye on the past while you're thinking about life in a world of ones and zeros?
I think the past creates value, but I don't think you necessarily run a company with an eye on the past. Looking back for us is important because it's important for us to respect the name Disney, what created all the value, the place that Disney has in the hearts and minds of people around the world. But to look back in a way that might be more reverent, or to look back in a way that, in effect, has you focusing more on what was instead of what is and what will be, I'm not sure that's necessarily productive.
Bob Iger is the president and CEO of the Walt Disney Company. Mr. Iger, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you very much.
For more on Kai's interview with Bob Iger, go to our website, marketplace.org. You can sign up for our podcasts there, too, and other fun things. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.